Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Hi there. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn, and welcome back to our Wednesday edition of shows with our special guest, Dr. Victoria Monlock. It's a delight to have her back with us today. She's doing a special 12-part series with us every Wednesday at 12 noon. And if you've heard the shows, you know she's very fascinating and amazingly interesting to talk to. Dr. Monlock is a practicing physician. She has over 30 years of experience specializing specifically in women's health, family medicine, and preventative health and wellness. She is, to give you a little bit of background, she's an OBGYN by training, but today she describes herself more as being a wellness physician, one who partners with her patients to deliver the best health care possible for them. And she often points out we need to get physicians to empower patients and educate them on the best ways to get healthy and to be healthy and stay healthy. In other words, the patients have to do their part as well. Anyway, according to Dr. Monlock, it's really interesting. The foundation of health, especially for females, is hormonal balance, which traditional Western medicine often ignores completely. Overlooks or outright dismisses. Dr. Monlock says hormones ought to be the very first thing you examine when something is going wrong. She equates it to like the four legs of a chair. She has a great way of explaining that, and she does. And we're going to pick up this week on where she kind of left off last week, because she was describing normal female hormones and what happens when things aren't really in balance or right. So anyway, let us welcome back our special guest, Dr. Victoria Monlock. She's in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and it's 40 degrees and cloudy there today. But, Doctor, you're going to be sunny for us. So welcome. How are you this morning? This afternoon.
Oh, really? I'm phenomenal. Thanks, Doug. Yeah, this is good Milwaukee Brewers weather, so go Brewers.
Good. Okay. I love it. I mentioned that. You answered the phone. I'm phenomenal. I love it. That means you're doing great. Okay, let's pick up where you left off last week. You were talking about what happens when there are too little specific female estrogen when they're not. I'll get it out. What are the normal female hormones? Right, there are two of them. What are they? I'll let you answer that.
Right, they are estradiol and progesterone, and they carry a lot of mystique with them because people think that, well, we just make those hormones, and because we're female, we make the right amounts of those hormones. Our body is smart. It knows exactly what to do. But we do have smart bodies, but they don't always make the right balance of these hormones. And especially as an adolescent starts out with puberty, it's not always a smooth start. It's like starting your car in the winter. It's a rough engine sometimes, and it takes a little bit for that engine to warm up and for that engine to sound smooth before you put it in gear and start driving. So We go through that same kind of a rough transition, and some girls or women go through a rougher transition than others. But we do make both of those female hormones, and we also make testosterone, which a lot of women are never really aware of. And if those hormones get out of balance, we can actually be more male than female, which comes with certain issues, or we can have specific symptoms when we don't make enough progesterone or we don't make enough estradiol. So all of them carry unique symptoms that we sometimes just chalk up to, oh, you just have PMS, just go to your room. So sometimes it helps to break down what some of these hormones are really doing in the body and what symptoms go along with that. And instead of just saying to a teenager, oh, you're just PMS-y, go to your room, wouldn't it be a more scientific answer to know, oh, PMS is low progesterone? I bet that means that we should see where your levels are. Wouldn't that be a much more scientific way to kind of say, and then be able to have the option to at least say, if this is happening on a regular basis, what can we do about it? I don't like, either the daughter says, I don't like the way I feel every month, or the mom says, I really think we need to get you some help because this is interfering with how well you mesh with family, how well you mesh with school and projects at school, and you're maybe missing school because you're getting headaches around the time of your period, which also goes along with hormones out of balance. So sometimes it helps to kind of break it down a little bit. And we started that last week, but we'll kind of carry back to that theme, if you don't mind, Doug.
No, you were talking about what happens when there's too little estradiol. Is that pronounced right? Estradiol?
Estradiol.
Estradiol. Okay. All right.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
You got through bladder issues, poor sleep, and insomnia, and increased incidence of acid reflux or sour stomach. The other one that you didn't get to was the effect it has on poor memory and poor concentration. That sounds really important. Talk to me about that.
It's crazy, isn't it? You wouldn't think that your female hormones would have anything to do with how well cognition or memory or your ability to concentrate works for you. But imagine the fact that as we're having these irregular starting up hormones with puberty, and now we know that adolescents need a lot of sleep. They rarely get a lot of sleep because they're doing multiple things and after school activities, doing their homework, staying up late, doing studying. And so when you put them in a situation, right, where they all of a sudden get to school and they can't recall something, or they get into a test situation, this is where we hear it a lot, they walk into an exam that they've prepped for, they've done all the work for, and this is a student who's, you know, conscientious, and they walk into the test and their brain just freezes up and they can't remember what they studied the night before. Or I'll give you another really perfect example is a phone call to the office with a mom putting her hysterical daughter on the phone, and she's really having a hard time getting out the fact that she just read the same paragraph last night studying for this major exam, and this exam is going to make or break whether or not she gets into the right college. And she read this paragraph 3 times, 4 times, and at the end of the paragraph, she couldn't remember what the paragraph said. And it's extremely
wow.
disturbing, because then that whole anxiety about your poor memory starts a cycle of more anxiety, which just makes it harder to concentrate. So how many of us have, as parents, have heard our kids say, I've read this same paragraph 10 times. I can't tell you what it says. Well, maybe it's because their periods are off and they're not making as much estradiol, that female hormone, as they should. What the purpose of estradiol in the body is it increases blood supply per square inch to the tissues that have receptors for estradiol. So that just begs the question, what are the tissues in our body that have estradiol receptors? Answer is every single one, including your brain. Fascinating, isn't it?
That really is, and it begs the question, I suppose you don't have enough of that. Is that something you take pills for to balance
well,
it out?
Well, a lot
properly?
Of times, right, it's making sure that it's not just how much is there, but is it
yeah.
out of balance, and is the second female hormone, progesterone, also not there in a large enough amount, or is the progesterone level high enough, but your estradiol level is too low, or is the male counterpart taking over and trying to handle the stress of too little female hormone therefore the male hormone is going to come to the rescue, and like a knight on a shining, you know, white horse, he's going to, you know, take the day and save the day. And that causes other problems in a female body as well. So the balance is the key.
You know, I'm just wondering, your balance is the key. What happens when there's too little progesterone? What are some of the symptoms that are apparent?
Well, the biggest symptom is something that never gets attributed to too little progesterone. And it's three simple letters that every parent and every woman dreads. And they are PMS. And people think, oh, that's a fallacy. That's a hysterical woman, or it's a child or adolescent looking for attention with an emotional outburst, crying at the drop of a hat. Oh, look, they can turn it on and they can turn it off. And today she's good, but tomorrow, oh my goodness gracious, what do I expect tomorrow? Well, we all as a society make light of it and sometimes make fun of it, but PMS is a real phenomenon, and it is too little of a production of progesterone. The role of progesterone in the body is twofold. Number one, it stabilizes the estradiol benefits of growing things. If we know estradiol is good for blood supply per square inch, then progesterone helps to basically balance or monitor that growth. So in a lining, in how much of a period a woman will have, it monitors many times how much flow or how heavy of a flow, or if there are clots that happen because the flow is coming too quickly. So there's a very real aspect of progesterone that we can visibly see, and it's tied to the amount of period that a woman gets. But the one you can't see is the emotional aspect that helps a brain to be balanced or calm. In the European literature, progesterone is the drug of choice in a traumatic brain injury. Now, I'm not calling PMS a traumatic brain injury, but if it is considered able to calm a brain with a traumatic injury, imagine how it can calm a brain when there is hormone imbalance.
Wow, that's very true. What about headaches?
Headaches are multifactorial, and a headache can be muscular. A headache can be dehydration, so it can be a vascular issue, but it can very much be a hormonal issue. There is a very well-recognized entity called a menstrual migraine, meaning that with the drop of progesterone, and sometimes it's the drop in both progesterone and estradiol, that will trigger a migraine that can be both with aura that you see visual or auditory, or it can be triggering nausea. It can trigger such intense symptoms as if to actually mimic a regular migraine that isn't necessarily menstrual tied. But if it's a menstrual migraine, it will come anywhere between a day or two before a period, and it can even last into the first couple of days of a woman's cycle or an adolescent cycle. So if periods are irregular, then there may not be a regular pattern. Still could be a hormonal versus a menstrual migraine. That hormone and too little progesterone is one of the major triggers that can also cause migraines. So those teens that end up missing school because they wake up in the morning with a migraine. They can't get out of bed. The light hurts mm-hmm. their eyes. They're nauseated and they can't, you know, they can't even stand up without having their GI contents expel. Those are all things you're not going to send your kid to school, but you really don't want to watch them every month suffer with that type of a totally treatable entity like a migraine.
Boy, that's very interesting. Also, I understand that a problem of bloating where, you know, you go to get dressed and your clothes don't fit. That can also be a problem from too little progesterone, right?
Right. The major organs that progesterone helps symptoms-wise with are, as you just heard, the brain and the central nervous system. So it's a lot to do with our emotions. And the second organ that it helps with a lot is our GI tract. And it is very tied to the speed at which things travel through our GI tract. Now, that sounds like a very simple thing, but if you eat and you know that your food is going to empty out of your stomach and you're going to be hungry in 2 to 3 hours, that's the speed at which things go out of your stomach and enter other parts of your GI tract. If you have too little progesterone, what happens is that food will sit in your stomach and it's taking a lot longer to empty from your stomach. So what does our stomach and the beginning of our intestines do with food? Well, first they dump acid and try to break it down with enzymes. But then as it tries to break it down and it isn't moving, then that food that's partially digested will start to ferment. Think of a process where you're making bread and you add yeast to a bread dough. What happens if you quit kneading it is it will start to rise and it will start to puff. Well, fast forward that process of bread dough rising to a couple of hours, and now your stomach just puffed up, or your abdomen just puffed up. And when you're starting the day with a tailored piece of clothing on that has a button waist, and all of a sudden you eat breakfast or you go to eat lunch and you have to unzip and unbutton your pants because you're so uncomfortable, you can't make that bloating go away. That can be a sign of too little progesterone. And I have seen it happen where you put progesterone back in and you will routinely hear back from these teens or even from their moms, because it can happen to moms as well with too little progesterone, that I can get back into my size 8 jeans. Oh my goodness, I haven't been able to wear those jeans for 3 months. All of a sudden, their closet just became the size that they originally bought it for, and they can wear their clothing. They can feel comfortable. They're not doing excess burping, because if nothing moves and it isn't emptying out of your stomach, where is all that excess air that you're bloating up with going to go? You're going to burp it back out of your mouth.
I got news for you. That kind of stuff doesn't just happen to girls. It can happen to guys, too. You got to loosen your pants, you know.
Well,
they don't fit right anymore.
Exactly.
So but that's not because they don't have progesterone, right?
No, but when we do the male segment, what you'll hear about is that males with too little testosterone mimic a lot of the symptoms that women have with too little estradiol and progesterone. So isn't that interesting? You hit on that, Doug.
We'll get to that in a minute. I wanted to ask you, by the way, is all of this stuff covered in your in the book you wrote about blossoming, becoming a woman, an owner's manual for the transition from young adult to womanhood. You cover this in that?
And I wanted to be certain, and thank you for mentioning that, to be certain to let the listenership know that I lay this all out not only in the book, but there are graphs, so there's a more visual way of understanding and following how hormone changes in the adolescent, which interestingly mimics the same kind of up and down swings that happen in the 40-year-old woman, which is many times the teen's mom. So you hear all the time about a teen and a mom cycling together in a household. Now imagine that same pheromone atmosphere of you cycle together, you now have hormone swings that may mimic each other. And now we may have not just one PMS female in the household, there may be two. Or as my husband used to like to say, with myself and three daughters in our household, I'm going hunting this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm going to be gone, okay? You guys just enjoy the weekend. Have some girl time. I'm leaving.
That is so funny. So funny. Do me a favor. Give me your explanation here, because it's so good when you're talking about hormones, about they are like the four legs of a chair. That's your description. What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm going to take you back to that very first statement that we did in the intro, that our body is actually the most important thing we can do is to start with hormone balancing. That is the foundation of our health and our wellness. And too often, Western medicine ignores that foundation. And it will call its foundational blood work, what is your blood count, what are your kidney functions and your liver functions. And those are all tests that are commonly run and commonly looked at by a physician when they tell you, gee, everything looks good. And you look at that doctor and you go, but if it looks good on paper, why do I feel so crummy? Well, it isn't in your blood work. Well, I call that the teenage look. If you don't look at the foundational labs, you're going to miss the point. So what I teach my patients is that foundation of your hormone balance, I like the four legs of a chair. So if you imagine those four legs, the first leg is your female male. Your second leg are your thyroid labs. Your third leg is your adrenal and your cortisol, which manages your stress. And your fourth leg is your pancreas with your insulin and fasting blood sugar response. So if any of those four legs of a chair are out of balance and you go to sit down on that chair, what's going to happen? You're going to fall on the ground and you'll pick yourself back up and go, oh my goodness, I just fell on the ground. So unless you address all four legs, you try to sit down on that chair again, and guess what? You're going to fall over again. So pay attention to all four legs of our hormonal balance. Balance those hormones because they all talk to each other. For instance, if your female male is off, your thyroid may want to come to the rescue. And it may stress itself into an abnormal function because it's working so hard to try to balance you that you may wrongly be put on thyroid medication, which really doesn't help the problem. Or you may start becoming insulin resistant because your pancreas is so stressed and it's trying to help. Or what happens to almost every one of us, I think we can all put ourselves in this situation, is life gets in the way. And stress can be physical stress. It can be emotional stress. It can be financial stress. Stress comes in many ways, and stress we know can cause things like ulcers. It can cause heart attacks, but nobody gives it that quiet credit for stress can also throw our female-male balance out of balance. It can impact our thyroid, and it can actually cause us to become pre-diabetic because all of these hormones talk to each other, and they all, like siblings, try to help each other out when one is in trouble. So you have to pay attention to all four legs of that chair, or you're going to repeatedly fall down and land on the floor and pick yourself up and then never find the reason why you keep falling on the floor.
You know, this is so important for young women to know. I mean, that's why I mentioned your book. Let me get back to that. It's called Blossoming, Becoming a Woman, an Owner's Manual for the Transition from Young Adulthood into Womanhood. Where's the book available? Is it available, Doctor?
It is available on Amazon. So
okay.
It is available as a print as well as electronic version.
Well, let me point out, because I was going to mention your website. It's a little complex website to mention here. But anyway, our guest is Dr. Victoria Monlock. But her website is Victoria J. Monlock, MDSC.com. Now, that sounds a little complex, so let me spell it out for you, okay? Victoria, V-I-C-T-O-R-I-A, J. Monlock, M-O-N-D-L-O-C-H, and then MDSC. .com. What's the MDSC stand for, Doctor? Tell me.
Well, MD is for medical doctor, MD, and SC is service corporation. So it's actually the name of my practice as well. And so
okay. It
is simply the name of my practice then with the .com after it.
Well, it's so good to hear all of this information. Before we sign off, I'll repeat that website one more time, because if you're a parent of a young lady, or you are a young teenager and you're hearing this information for the first time, this is a book that would obviously be very, very beneficial for you. We have other subjects to get into, Doctor, but we're almost out of time. I think we ought to pause right here, and you can pick up on testosterone. That's a male hormone. That females get as well, right? We'll get into that on the next broadcast. How about that?
That's correct. And, you know, what I'll leave you with is a little teaser, okay?
Okay.
Is that we make male hormone as total and free testosterone, and if you make too much male, it could be genetic, but sometimes it's too much stress. So I'll leave you with that little bit of a teaser before we reconvene next week.
Okay. You're a delight to talk to, Doctor. Thank you for such valuable information. And again, the website for Dr. Monlock is Victoria J. Monlock, M-O-N-D-L-O-C-H, MDSC.com. Doctor, thanks for being with us. This is, this series that you're doing, 12-part series, is just so beneficial. I hope everybody's following along with us and keeping up with us. You'll be back again next week, next Wednesday, same time, 12 noon. So we look forward to, your coming back to CUTV News Radio next week, okay? Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks, Doug. Have a great day.
Very good. That's it for this edition, everybody. Hope you all learned something, and I hope you're keeping tabs on us, staying in touch with this series. It is so beneficial with so much valid information, especially for certain young ladies. So we'll see you again next week. Thanks for being with us. See you next time right here on CUTV News Radio. I'm Doug Llewellyn, and it's been my pleasure to be with you, and we'll see you next time, okay? Take care. Bye for now.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.